Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is the smell of a warm, three-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get hefty, ultra-strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
People of Earth, if you can hear my voice, you've arrived at another episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope. I'm your host, Brent Pope, and boy, oh boy, my guest today is Gemma Ziegler, an actor we have seen on great things like Doom Patrol, NCIS, Bones, Ugly Betty, and coming soon, a little show called Westworld What? She's also a singer-songwriter, certified yoga instructor, and that's not all. We had Breakfast from Zinc and the Los Angeles Arts District, so let's get ready for something we've never heard before on Breakfast, because we've got Gemma Ziegler today on Breakfast.
Pick it up!
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Breakfast.
This young lady just smashed the lids on all these cakes in the bakery section.
I could go on a Hallmark card.
My guest today.
Oh, I'm going to need to hear all about that.
I didn't eat any extra sausage.
He adds character to my crew.
Is a goat pit a real thing?
What? Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Great place to hang out and good food, too. I'm always playing blue collar guys.
Breakfast. Let me screw through the pipe.
I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilized the hydraulics.
I love a crawler. All my uncles got the gout. Jalapeno / cheddar waffles.
Who doesn't love that? It's breakfast time.
Breakfast.
The only show where bacon, pancakes, Hollywood. I'm your host, Brent Pope.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Gemma Ziegler. How are you?
I'm doing beautifully today. How are you doing?
Excellent. Well, yes, it's you know, it's kind of an overcast day in LA, but I kind of like that. I don't know. How do you feel about it when it's like not totally sunny?
I think there's something really like mystical when it's misty. You know, it's kind of magical and I love that. And it's romantic. But by the same token, this has been a really cold winter and a very rainy winter. So the last 2 days where it was a bit more chill, it felt a little bit more like sunny California. My soul was craving that.
I want to start off talking about Doom Patrol because, one, it's a really cool, crazy show from the DC universe. And two, Matthew Harris just recommended Doom Patrol as one of the shows we should all watch a few episodes back. So now we get to like talk about someone who's worked on the show and done a really crazy, cool part. First of all, what was the audition process for Doom Patrol?
So it was self-tape, as it often is, and the casting directors that cast me in that particular role, very familiar with my work. And when I found out that I had booked the role, I was actually in New York at the time for the premiere of my partner. He had a film out there for HBO, Ollie and Cabot, which has now actually won a Critics' Choice Award, which is very exciting.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you. So at that time, we were out in New York. It was the last thing I was thinking about.
Right.
You know how it is as an actor, you kind of put it out there. I assumed that I hadn't booked the role because from the breakdown, it seemed like they would have already been shooting it already. And lo and behold, I had to fly out to, or had the opportunity, rather, to fly out to Atlanta pretty immediately. So we got to go to the premiere of Ollie and Cavett and then just straight down to Atlanta.
Wow.
And it was really amazing. You know, first thing, they had to do a full body cast on me.
Yeah. So for a little context, you played a character called the Scant Queen. Right?
Yes, correct.
And the Scants were, you know, if you guys don't know, Doom Patrol is, you know, it's in the DC universe. So there's a lot of supernatural or superhero type things going on. And there are these crazy characters called Scants that are pink.
Yes.
They're all pink. They extract, and you're the queen of the Scants.
I am the queen.
But they extract, they make people make bad decisions.
It's a little bit of a weird thing. They make people make bad decisions, and then the result of that is this Uma jelly that you use.
Yes, correct.
As your life force, basically.
I drink the elixir, and...
First of all, who came up with this Uma jelly? That's a great name, Uma jelly. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it's they just loved Uma Thurman, and they're just like, let's just make it a thing. I don't know.
Doom Patrol, obviously, DC Universe, so it was a comic book first.
Yeah.
Came from that realm, but things have evolved along the way. It's not like exactly true to the comic itself necessarily. And so Eric Deedle was one of the writers on my episode.
Yeah.
And I would imagine he and the team of other staff writers probably came up with that.
It's one of those names where like, this is a really good name.
Yeah.
It's not just a normal name. And then it makes you think, like, because it is, there are people that have that name are like, oh, what was the influence? It makes you really think.
Well, you know, Doom Patrol also is such a, you were alluding to this before, it's such a zany show in a sense. And so it really provides the opportunity to enjoy the comic realm while going to some really deep places and going to some really far out places. It's just, I think zany is the best word for it.
Doom Patrol, in a way, and I don't know if you watch Umbrella Academy, but it reminds me a little bit of that show, but weirder, darker, and wilder than that show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's similar. I think if you like Umbrella Academy, you will also like Doom Patrol. It's just slightly different, maybe darker.
You're thinking Umbrella Academy is darker or Doom Patrol is darker?
I think Doom Patrol is darker.
Interesting, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question, Gemma, because like, I feel like it is darker, but it's also zanier, which makes it not as dark. Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah. It's kind of the tones are similar, but just like a degree off from each other.
Yeah. The origin stories of the characters on Doom Patrol, to me, are so sad.
Yeah.
That gives it a little more darkness. And maybe I'm saying, maybe it's sadness or melancholy is the thing, but mixed with this zaniness, which is a really interesting combination.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you don't often see like that combination of zany. It's usually zany is high energy comedy, not really complex, kind of sad characters with tragic stories. That's not a mixture you see a lot, right?
Yeah, I hear that. And that's, I think, one of the things that makes the DC universe a little bit different than Marvel from what I have come to understand.
No, I think that's right. I think that's a good general note is like it is darker.
Yeah, it is darker. And they're the kind of these like flawed characters, right? That we're still rooting for regardless. Mm-hmm. And I think the protagonists in Doom Patrol are, they all win your heart, like any good project will do, any good story will allow your heart to be won over by them. But it really feels like they kind of have these fatal flaws, and they also have opportunities now kind of for redemption. And that's a beautiful thing. And again, even though it is very out there, I find the stories to be very universal.
Yeah.
And I think what really works for Doom Patrol is that it's grounded in how far out there it goes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the simplicity of character, right? It's really character driven. And, you know, Diane Guerrero, who is on the show, you know, I have worked with her acting coach as well for that show.
And Diane Guerrero was, I know her a lot from Orange is the New Black. So great on that show and so great on this show.
Yeah, she's awesome. I love her character in particular because there are so many facets to her personality that from an acting perspective, you get to explore.
Yeah.
And I can imagine it's quite challenging
to
manage those many characters. They're truly, really fleshed out. But she does a beautiful job with it. And yeah, that's kind of one of those dream roles where you really get to go in and go for it.
It breaks some other conventions too, I think, because you got Matt Bomer.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone will say has one of the most beautiful faces for a guy, and then they don't show his face on the show, right?
You see his face when he plays Larry Traynor.
Sometimes, yeah, but look, most of the time on the show, obviously Matt Bomer's a great actor. He's done a lot of great stuff, but he's a really good looking guy, and you're like, oh wow, and they're just going to not show his face most of the time on this show. Unless he's playing Larry Traynor, like you said. But
and,
I think that's
and
interesting.
He's not necessarily physically the one in the suit.
Right, of course.
Time, right?
Of course. But we hear his voice.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I think it's, I'm just saying like as a, if I'm the person creating the show, we're like, so we're going to have Matt Bomer and we're not going to show his face?
Right. You know, I'm like the creator, I'm like, or like the producer's like, no, we're not doing that. We got to show his face. Like
well,
most shows would say that. And then they didn't.
Part of the intention with that, I could be wrong, but I think he was actually working on two projects at the same time, right?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
And so it was an opportunity for them to acquire him.
Okay.
And get
that's
him.
Smart. That's really smart. Somebody talked about that. You know, that's interesting. That's an interesting thing that they did then, because somebody talked about a show like from the 90s. Where they got Burt Reynolds on the show, but only because the guy producing the show would go out to Burt Reynolds' house and just record his voice, and that was it, you know? But they got Burt Reynolds that way. Okay, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
100%.
I enjoy anything that Brendan Fraser does.
Yes.
And you hear his voice, you're like, that's Brendan Fraser. Oh, that's so... mm-hmm. What a sad character, man. I just feel bad when it's just...
And underneath all the anger is the sadness.
You just
right?
like really empathize for this guy.
Deep compassion. Yeah, truly.
But getting back to your character, this is the Gemma Ziegler. but you've got all this prosthetics and things. I think it's prosthetics. Is it prosthetics?
Yes.
How long does that take to put on? Because you're fully like pink. Mm-hmm. From head to toe, mm-hmm. What was the process like? What did you have on? How long did that take?
At first, I'll say they kind of handled me with kid gloves initially because they were concerned that I wouldn't be up for it from my recollection because I was very up for it. Thank God for yoga. Thank God for breathing. I will say that. I know a lot of people haven't been able to actually, you know, follow through with certain opportunities, whether it's on that show or others, because they couldn't handle the cast. So we did what's called a body cast. It was a cast of my face.
So if you're like really claustrophobic, you may just not be able to do it at all.
Correct.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I've heard those stories. And so
I bet that happens. Yeah.
I was very grateful for the opportunity to be hired. I was very committed. It was one of those shows that I really had set my intention that I was going to work on that show. I was really focused and fierce about it. And so when the opportunity came through and then I found out I booked it, there was going to be nothing that was going to derail me.
Yeah.
So when they do the cast on your face, you just really kind of have to get into a very, for me, I had to get into a really centered space within myself. Everyone around me was lovely, very supportive, created a great environment. We did it. And then that was done. That was complete. Then from there, they developed whatever pieces that they needed to develop so that they could allow me to be created into the character that I was. So it was quite a big headpiece and cheek pieces. And then they were going to distort my nose and decided not to. But we kind of have a triple chin going on.
Yep.
And then what I'll really say is the costumers were just brilliant and so amazing. I was truly awe-inspired by what they created. There were multiple options, and it was such a joy to work with them. Underneath, I wore a big, big, big yellow, very kind of over-the-top Baroque gown with these crazy shoes. And because I was a pink person, I was literally a pink person, Pepto-Bismol. If anything were to show through the yellow, and of course for my neck and my hands, they needed to have my whole body pink. And so they custom made a latex bodysuit to my proportions. And it was a whole thing. There were these two assistants from the costume department that were there supporting me through the process. They were amazing. They dressed me. I felt like they were my ladies in waiting. If I had to go to the bathroom, which I did.
Yeah, of course.
And it gets hot inside that suit, by the way.
You know?
But they were just so there for me. And it really was so reaffirming and such a reminder that this is a team sport.
Yeah.
You know, this industry that we're in, and it really takes a village. And it was so exciting to have the support, the eyes. You know, I had never worn contacts before, and I had those crazy laser blue eyes in. The gentleman that came to help me with my contacts, and they would put the contacts in. And it was everybody from head to toe on that show was just amazing. And it made me feel great, and it allowed me to do great work,
you did do great work.
Be so bold.
I gotta say, it was a great episode.
Yeah,
you did a great job. You were great playing that character. I don't want to say too much because if you haven't seen it yet, but you guys should watch it. And Doom Patrol in general, I think, is great. Cute. I didn't know they shot that in Atlanta. Also, just like I guess all the comic book stuff is in Atlanta.
There's a lot of stuff going on in Atlanta, and I love Atlanta. I spend quite a bit of time there. I tend to work quite a bit there as well. And so the Southeast as a region in particular. And it's just a really, I don't know if I'd say like a great alternative. It's just, it's really a great place to spend time.
I do like enjoy spending time there. I've done a couple things there. I worked with Tyler Perry on very, very briefly on a thing and his whole studio that he has there. That's really cool. But the food there, I always gain like 7 pounds. Even if I'm only there for like 3 days, I gain like 7 pounds because I'm down with those biscuits and gravy. So that's just like, you know, my inner Midwestern younger me. Just
coming
like,
out.
You know, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, one thing I find interesting about you, I know you you lived in Miami.
Yeah, in I grew up area. In Miami.
You're bilingual. You speak fluent Spanish.
Claro
and,
que sí.
I mean, I took so much Spanish that I am not fluent at all. I took so many classes. Is there a, okay, let me ask you this. Is there a difference? And do you go out for a lot of parts where you speak Spanish? And if you do, is there any difference in acting in Spanish than in English? Maybe that's a dumb question, but.
Not at all.
Yeah.
There are no dumb questions, Brent Pope.
Okay, not dumb. Stupid. Thank you. No.
So I'll say this. I'm, as you said, I'm super passionate about Spanish. I'm super passionate about the language. You know, I spent some time in Spain growing up, and the culture in Miami is much more, in my experience, it's a diverse space, but there's a lot of Latin Americans in Miami. And so for me, it was just such a wonderful place to grow up in. There's a certain energy and a passion and a spice and sabor.
Yeah.
It's just a feeling. So growing up around that really did inform, again, it's that element of passion that kind of always came through. And I think as an artist, even singing in Spanish, it's even talking in Spanish, it's just a bit of a different way. There's just the language itself kind of helps you, in my opinion, express yourself emotionally like a little bit better even than English.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then in terms of opportunities to actually work in Spanish, I would love more opportunities. The industry is a little bit, is going through some changes right now. And so whereas in the past, I would find myself being called in for, you know, Hispanic, Latinx roles.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I'm not able to go out for those same roles since I am pure American second generation Miami.
Yeah.
So sometimes people just want to hire authentic Latinas, Latinos, Latinx folk. So there is that. But it's something that is so near and dear to my heart. And I love speaking Spanglish as well.
Yeah.
I think Sofia Vergara is awesome. Such a wonderful, for me at least, she's just like such a spitfire and an awesome woman. And I think of her often when I think about the industry and someone that really expands me as a woman. And
that's interesting because if you ask me the same thing, I'll say like John Leguizamo is like that guy for me because he's just like effortlessly walks the line between English, Spanish, and the whole culture and the differences and the, you know, and
I was really, really like a little girl. I remember seeing his show. I think I have two older brothers and a younger brother, but my two older brothers, one of them, I think, was watching his one man show.
Yeah.
At one point.
Which he has a bunch of them now, you know.
Correct. But at the time, it was his one-man show, and it was, I remember being so enamored with him. And as an actor, he really impacted me early on.
Yeah.
Just seeing somebody be able to really channel their creativity and share themselves.
Yeah,
with
I tell
the
you,
world.
That's the thing is like, you know, there are different, I don't know if there are different types of actors, but like, I feel like he is so much more comfortable sharing all of himself and all of the scars and maybe even the stuff in his family that I'm like very reticent to do sometimes. You know what I mean? And it's all our own journeys. And but I love that he does that.
He has a way of wearing his heart on his sleeve and being kind of having his wound be very open for all to see. But he does it in a comedic way.
Right.
And so that's the gift of him. And that's that kind of that's his brand.
Right.
of human that he's sharing with the world.
Yeah,
but like you said, everyone has different ways of expressing themselves creatively and otherwise. And sometimes I think we, you know, can look to others and feel like that's how I should express myself when really kind of where we're at now, whatever our true authentic expression is now is really where the gold is. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, it's just, again, it's about creating from where we are. Right. We can always go down to the deeper layers, but sometimes because of our life experiences, that's not right for us.
Right.
You know, I think we protect ourselves until we no longer need to anymore.
Right.
It's, you know, it's just, so we all have our own paths, and I love collaborating with all different artists
yeah.
and kind of not segregating ourselves or not discriminating. It's just, you know, I keep saying this, but the journey of being an artist, the journey of being an actor, I have so much respect for my fellow creatives, because there's a lot of fearlessness, and we can jump off a cliff and then there's like 10 more to jump off of.
Right.
So sometimes it's baby steps.
This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech!
And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get hefty, ultra-strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
So before we go any further, we did have a tremendous breakfast at Zinc. Market and cafe. I mean, it's all these things. They sell cookbooks there.
Mm-hmm.
They sell, I think, cooking supplies there. They definitely sell food there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one, I think there's several locations, but this one is in the beautiful Los Angeles Arts District.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a little bar area. They have an outdoor area. I mean, it's a beautiful venue.
Even the cafeteria space that they have.
Yep.
I'm calling it cafeteria. It's not really that, but.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how else to describe it, but yeah.
Salad bar, but it's not just salad.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They did have that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you had the tricolor salad, right?
Sure did.
And I know that was, it's like all the healthy things. Kale, radicchio, shaved cabbage, avocado. Oh, Parmesan, lemon.
Yeah, some Parmesan.
And then a vinaigrette.
Mm-hmm.
It looked really delicious. How was it?
It's always so awesome. And I feel like LA knows how to do this pretty well. When you have a salad that doesn't leave you wanting, doesn't leave you wanting more. I mean, we'll talk about the other thing that we shared momentarily, which was a real treat. Salad was awesome. And I will continue to go there and get that because, among other things, but it was awesome.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had the scrambled eggs and leeks, caramelized leeks.
Yes.
I love leeks. I think I talked about scallions recently, too. Like leeks, scallions.
Leeks are dope.
They're really
them.
Good. And they're I like onions, too, but like these other things are like a little.
It's a little less abrasive.
Yeah, it's a little thinner, too. So it's not as thick. Yeah. Soft scrambled eggs. And I had a little fruit and some toast with some kind of jam. I believe it was like maybe blackberry. I'm guessing that it was like blackberry jam or something like that. It was
something
really
like
tasty. We were sitting under a beautiful tree outside.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And we also, you know, we shared the Zinc fries? Is that what it's called?
Yes, we got the fries. I think they're the Zinc fries, but
we
got them with the za'atar.
Oh, that's right.
So on them.
Double fried, which I think that's it ends up being like the consistency of like shoestring potatoes, like real kind of crunchy, tossed with the spicy za'atar.
So phenomenal.
They need more stuff with za'atar.
My partner has been cooking everything with
za'atar. Really?
The other day I was making like a Italian dish. I was very excited about it. He turned around and just started putting za'atar in it. And I looked at him like, dude, are you messing with my food right now?
He's
on a kick.
What do you know the origin of za'atar? Like what's the region where they usually cook it in? It seems maybe Middle Eastern. I don't know.
I believe, I don't want to misspeak. I do believe it's Middle Eastern. I will say this. I worked at, you know, we've had many incarnations in our lives, right?
Yeah.
I've had every wholesome job in the book. And at one point, I worked at a Lebanese restaurant eons ago. And they used a lot of za'atar there. And that was the first time that I had experienced the spice. So,
yeah, we have some Lebanese friends. And I don't know what the dish is called, but it's basically like beef tartare, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I believe they put like olive oil on and za'atar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great spice.
Any word that has a Z in it, and then it's got an A and an apostrophe, and then another A,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what else do you want?
Like anything that starts with Z, Gemma Ziegler.
Oh, that's Ziegler. Right. That's right. I was asking you, because your name is spelled J-H.
Yes.
And I was asking you, like, I've never seen Gemma with an H in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really interesting. And then you told me
What was the origin of you having an H in your Gemini name?
Well, my mother is really creative, and her name is Teresa with an H.
An H.
So Gemma with an H seemed to make sense.
I love it.
I suppose.
I love that name. And she must have known you were going to be an actor, because then you're like, you definitely don't have to fight anyone over your name, having someone have the same name as you, right?
My mother is one of the most special people you'll ever meet. She is so tapped in, tuned in, turned on, all the things. So she's, you know, she wasn't going to be able to have children, and then she had me, and then they said I was her miracle baby. She'll never have another one, and she had my younger brothers. So I really kind of hit the lottery with my mother. She was, you know, I don't think there's a better one out there. I'm very, very blessed.
Yeah.
Truly. She's my girl.
Is she better, or are the zinc fries better at
Well, when she was in town a couple months ago and we had the zinc fries together.
That's just like you were living your best life, right?
I was in bliss. I was on another planet. Then my third eye opened. You know,
okay.
I was like.
So I think I know the answer to this, but like, so you have the choice with the zinc fries there. You can get it tossed with thyme or truffle salt or spicy za'atar.
Yeah. Or nothing.
So was it spicy za'atar with your mom?
Yes, of
course.
Okay,
gotcha. That's your choice, is the spicy za'atar.
Because
those three. Yeah.
Listen, I adore truffle. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But it's such a thing that you can get truffle anywhere.
You can get it anywhere now, right.
So the za'atar is really kind of zinc's thing. Plus the shoestring aspect of the French fries, which you were talking about, it's like a delicacy. And you kind of want to shove them all in your mouth at once, but they're so delicate that you just want to also just enjoy them like a lady,
I feel like I would love to, in my career, you know, if I advance far enough and then I have a personal stylist, I want them to be named za'atar.
Oh.
I think that's, this is my stylist, za'atar. You guys can run everything by
I just want a stylist. Let me just really be clear and put that out into the universe. I just really want a stylist. I don't care what my stylist name is. Maybe they'll want to be called za'atar. Who knows?
Yeah,
but gosh, when you get to the point where that is necessary or available or whatever.
Right.
Gosh, I really look forward to that moment.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Well, anyway, Zinc Marketplace Cafe, delicious, a lot of different greats. Oh, I didn't even mention I ate this all myself.
Oh, yeah.
It was a cookie. I'm not quite sure what was in it, but I think it was definitely a pecan with lemon frosting cookie. And I feel like it had oatmeal in it. They didn't really describe it, but it was really tasty. And
you seem to really enjoy it.
Look, I enjoyed everything there.
Heck yeah.
And those zinc fries. Yeah, we were definitely just like chowing down the zinc fries.
Mm-hmm.
What a great place and what a great atmosphere. And thank you for taking me there for breakfast.
The ambiance is awesome. And it was so nice to connect with you ahead of this. And we've, you know, been a minute since we had seen each other. So it's really,
it was really, really, really
lovely.
Nice. Yeah.
And then we were listening to the music that was playing at the restaurant. And I was saying,
yes.
You know, that it
reminds of your style that you're kind of currently
putting
creating
out.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's talk about that, because you're a very you're a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Creating your own tracks. Tell me about this. Tell me about this journey and what you're doing and what you want to do and how it's been.
It's been so exciting and really feels like kind of a lifetime in the making. I, you know, during the pandemic, I had always been singing, I'd always been writing. You know, I'd been in some bands in the past, but during the pandemic, when we had all this downtime and didn't know if we were ever going to emerge from the apocalypse, I guess we're still in the pandemic, but it was during that, you know, 2020 phase, I took it upon myself to start learning Logic and to go from GarageBand to Logic.
Which is like a music editing program, right? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Exactly. Okay. Editing, and also it's kind of where you can create your
music.
Where
you create the music also, yeah.
Exactly. Like a sister, brother to Pro Tools. And so I started learning how to use Logic and started learning about recording myself and what that process is like and getting some of my stuff down and just doing it, because better out than in. Why not?
Yeah.
And because the music that I write comes from, you know, like a deep place, it can be intense and beautiful and healing and emotional and all the things. So, but I had the time to finally sit down and actually confront the stuff and just release, get it out of my system. And so I started working, my partner on the flip side, he was in bands for years, and so I solicited his support.
That's great.
And he really helped me produce some beautiful tracks once I had them ready enough to, or once I really needed to help them get to the next level. He helped me a lot with the production. And then I started mixing my music with a friend who I am now working with as well as my producer. If you know the band Letters to
From Cleo.
Cleo.
Yeah. Letters to Cleo.
Letters to Cleo.
Yes. So, I do know that band.
Yeah, he's awesome. Michael Eisenstein. And I started going to the studio with him and just polishing up some of my songs initially. And we're working on a few tracks right now, which is awesome. And like I said, it just feels like it's been a lifetime in the making.
Yeah.
And it's really freeing to be able to do this. And whereas with my acting, that's been something I've been pursuing professionally for so long.
Sure.
It's really nice to have my creative, like there's a newness and a freshness to this. And so in embarking on this journey, I'm looking forward to learning more about the music business, learning just about it, you know, about it all, creating
right.
those audiovisual components
yeah. Yeah.
in the form of music videos.
Sure.
I'm extremely excited about that. And it's
well,
the
congrats.
Unknown.
I think that's great. Anyone who can create, similar to writing a script, but you create a song from nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So generally, do you hear the music or do you start with lyrics or is it a feeling you have? You
yeah.
know, what's usually, is there one thing or is it different things for different songs?
It always varies. It's always nice when you just get the miraculous download when you're driving or in the shower and then the lyrics and the melody are there and it's just served on a plate to you. And then sometimes it's kind of like psychic surgery and you're sitting
yeah.
down and you're working through an idea that you have that you know might become something, or you're encouraging yourself to sit down and just, you're being me, plunk on the keyboard or
yeah.
strum on the guitar what chords you do know.
Right.
And kind of find the way. So it's, you know, I write a lot. I'm definitely an avid writer. And so sometimes I'll even draw on ideas. Everything's kind of related and interconnected. You know,
yeah,
the themes that I'm working
right.
on my music tend to then pop up
right.
within the opportunities that come to me in the form of acting work. And then the stuff I'm like with my book that I'm working on or my scripts that I'm working on, it all kind of melds into one another. And again, just to use the word that I was using before, like keeps the flow going.
Right.
So I think they all support each other. And I have found in the past that when I'm not singing, because I truly believe that music is one of, especially singing, is one of the purest ways to connect to spirit. It's like this thing that comes out of nowhere and you
yeah.
don't see it, but
yeah.
you certainly feel it. There's
right.
a transmission there and it's clearly touching people in the same way that beautiful storytelling does.
Right.
You know, it's like this remote healing. And so for myself with the music, it just allowing it to kind of come in and then letting that spirit flow through. It's there's something really can be spontaneous about it at times. And sometimes it can just be ethereal and etheric and just reminds you that there's so much that we can't see with our physical eyes that's going on and helps you connect to kind of the multidimensionality of it all. And then that takes us back to Doom Patrol.
Wow.
Right? Which is like
full circle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like which is such an out there show.
Right. What was that? Matthew McConaughey from
cool.
True Detective.
He's cool.
He said, life is a flat circle. You know, that was the character he would say, like, life is a flat circle. Yeah. Anyway.
He, by the way, just a plug in for him. I haven't read his book, but I have so many friends who have read his book.
Yeah.
And they have all just said it is one to not be
really?
Missed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotta check it out.
He is a cowboy.
Yeah.
Like a
all
world,
right.
like a multiverse cowboy.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Well, congrats on all your music. I can't wait to hear it. And,
yes.
you know, it's a great journey to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get out of here, I need to get three quick recommendations
yes.
from Gemma Ziegler. What is a hidden gem show or movie that you love that people may not know?
I don't know if the show is a hidden gem, but I have a sneaking suspicion it is.
Okay.
It's a new show.
Mm-hmm.
It is a must-see. It's called Station 11.
Oh, I always see the still of it.
Yes.
Is it on HBO or something?
I believe it's HBO
yeah,
Max.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
HBO.
I have no idea. Just from the still, I'm like, I want to watch this.
It is phenomenal.
Yeah?
Talk
okay.
about finding the levity, yes, but really deep and just so universal. And you must watch this show if you are human or if you are extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
Watch
or
it.
If you're scant.
Or if you're scant. Yeah, exactly. Or a furry, whatever. Yeah. Right. Must watch.
What is the show or movie that you watch just for fun?
Ooh, Nathan For You.
Oh, Nathan For You.
Have you heard of it?
Oh, sure. Yeah. He just, it's wild.
Oh my goodness. That guy has got, I'm like, can I say this these days? The guy has got a set of cojones on him.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. And he's so kind of deadpan.
Yeah.
And just, to be inside of that mind, mm-hmm. I would love to just go inside of his mind for a minute. He's quite the character and quite the talent.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it exactly. It is kind of a reality show, but it's kind of like a pranky type. Funny, I don't know how to describe it. It's just funny.
But it's very clear he's playing a role.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. We know it's not real, but it's he does have cojones. Yeah,
but
you're
right. He takes himself very seriously on the show, which is what makes it so, he's so committed.
Right.
So it's perfect.
Well, what is the show or movie that inspires you?
So these days, anything with Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
I've been a fan of hers since Peep Show.
Of course. Peep Show's a great show, by
it's
the way.
Great.
Yeah. A lot of my friends love Peep Show.
That's another hidden gem, by the way.
Yeah.
Truly.
Sure.
So, and actually, I could be misspeaking right now, but I believe that the writer of Peep Show is also the writer of Succession. There's a connection
that,
there.
That may be
or
correct.
Not.
I don't know for sure, but it sounds right.
There's a connection there, if I recall correctly. So, Olivia Colman. So, this wasn't necessarily my favorite film by any stretch of the imagination, but her work in The Lost Daughter, which I just saw, really impacted me. I'm always looking at films from a acting perspective, right? And she just makes such, always, but within this particular film, such detailed, nuanced choices. She's so specific and she always goes there. And you kind of just, you're in the journey with her. And so that's a film that where the acting really impacted me. If anyone wants to kind of do a bit of a character study, check that out.
Nice. Yeah, Olivia Colman's done so many great things.
She's brilliant. I'm so happy for her that she's having this moment, and just the nobility of spirit there with her is just she's a baddie.
And I love interviews with her. She's just delightful.
Yeah,
I don't know how else to describe her. Yeah.
Real?
You know? Yeah. Well, guys, if you would like to get more Brentfest stuff, such as pictures of Gemma Ziegler and I enjoying our Brentfest from Zinc, go to my website, brentpope.com. You can listen to all the Brentfest episodes there. You can see clips from all my TV appearances. Hair clippings from Gemma Ziegler. $3.99. Guys.
You are nutty, mister.
And the official Brentfest store with a bunch of fun stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Shirts, mugs, stickers, masks. It's all in there. People of Earth, do yourself a favor by picking up something for the Brentfest store. And if you enjoy the show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to Brentfest, and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Brentfest is now in all over the United States and in 50 other countries. 50, guys.
Wow.
And trust me, my Breakfast Burrito Brigade, we are just getting started. Big ups to my studio engineer, Marco Leon, for making me sound so good. And we want to wish a fond farewell to our editor, the one and only Rosemary Brown. Thank you for the years of outstanding Brentfest slicing and dicing. Much appreciate. And it's not goodbye. It's see you soon, little sis. Gemma Ziegler, what is next for you? And where can we find you on social media?
Yes. So in addition to the music, I am working on a film coming up called The Lay of Game.
Oh, I'm working on that too.
I was going to say, kind of with my soul tribe.
Yeah.
Mr. Galise.
Oh, that's right. So we didn't mention this, but you're in Sauce Boys.
Yes.
Sauce Boys has been talked about a lot on the show, and it's a fun project, and you were a part of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I get to work with the crew again, the cast and crew. Everybody kind of does everything, which is what's so great.
Right. It's a real do it all yourself type thing, which I love.
You learn a lot from it, you know? So I'm really excited about that. And then the year just started ramping up. Yep. I'm actually producing a documentary loosely based on animation and truly based on pencil tests. So that is very exciting. I'm learning a lot about producing and, to be continued. Tons of stuff that I can't quite talk about yet.
Yeah, it's coming out soon, then we'll talk about it then.
I'm excited.
And on social media, also, you have fabulous content on Instagram, at Gemma Ziegler, J-H-E-M-M-A Ziegler. And they can also see what you've been up to on imdb.com, so check it out.
Gemma Ziegler, thank you so much for coming in. This is delightful. I always enjoy hanging out with you. And I can't wait to see you again.
100%. I can't wait to turn it around on you next time for questions on you.
All right. And with that, we put another big cojones episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope in the old to-go bag. See ya.
Que tengan buen día.